So, anybody know where I am? Alright, the Jane is still. How are you, Jackie, honey? Nobody can guess where I am, my love.
This is Niamh Mooney.
That's Sligo, no.
Niamh is famous.
Oh, Daniel Clifford. Whereabouts, though?
Well, Facebook famous, anyway.
Yeah.
Niamh broadcasts her whole life on Facebook. Live.
Okay, so I'm on my way to the dentist and I'm dosed up with a few Valium because I can't cope with the dentist. My nerves are gone. I'm terrified.
Niamh's a mother. She's a grandmother. She's a former heroin addict. And she's a poet.
Learn to love your wobbly bits, your bingo wings, your sagging tits.
Niamh also has a talent for shoplifting.
I won't pretend I'm perfect. No, because that I surely ain't. I was in the DIY shop and I nicked 3 tins of paint.
There's a connection between these parts of Niamh's life. Being a grandmother, shoplifting and Facebook. Because just before Christmas, 2 years ago, Niamh posted a personal challenge on her Facebook page, which has thousands of followers. She challenged herself to stop shoplifting her groceries for Christmas. No mean feat, because she's been doing it for a long time.
When I lived in Blackrock for 22 years, I was literally doing my shopping and walking out the door to trolley and crossing the road to where I lived.
The main reason Niamh decided to stop shoplifting was because of this little man.
Sorry, say hi to Nanny.
But we can't see Nanny.
Her grandson, Jake.
Because she wants to see you.
He's just the light of my life. I Skype with him on a regular basis.
Where are you right now, Jakey?
I'm here.
Where's here?
Niamh's grandson, Jake, actually lives in Switzerland with his mother, so contact is mostly virtual.
I'm at home.
He sends me cards, and I don't want them cards to be ever having to go to Mountjoy Prison.
I love you, Nanny.
I love you, Nanny.
Bye.
Bye.
So, how hard could it be to stop shoplifting? Most of us believe shoplifting is wrong and we'd have real difficulty doing it. Well, consider this scene.
Cashier number 8, please.
I'm in a shop with Niamh. We're recording discreetly and Niamh is almost having a panic attack.
I mean, my heart is actually, like, in my chest.
Not because she's stolen something and is afraid of getting caught. No, it's because we're in the early days of her challenge. She's in the queue at the checkouts and she's about to pay for her shopping.
Indulge in festive flavours with award-winning...
When I know I could have it for free. It kills me, but I have to learn how to do it. I have to. I feel nauseous.
Does she have a club card? Well, she hasn't really needed one before now.
Goodness, I just spent €70. €70. I'm very proud of myself that I paid for my clothes, but I can tell you now I am glad to be out of that shop because having 2 bags in my hand with lots of empty space is just too tempting. So I'm not cured, most definitely not cured of my shoplifting bug, but have the sense to leave the shop.
Over the following months, I'll be recording Niamh as she deals with those temptations to shoplift, but also as she tells me about the life that has led her to deal with addiction, giving up her children to care, poetry, stand-up comedy, and the work she's most famous for, her live Facebook posts.
Oh my God, it's so cold. I've actually lost a feeling in my hole. Oh my God, I actually can't feel my arse because it's that cold. It's like gone numb. I can't feel.
Niamh's Facebook posts are often done live while she's cycling her bike or just walking around on Leary. They're aimed to shock.
See your stupid little things with your teddy bears and your love hearts and your roses and all that bollocks. I don't send them. I love yous. I can tell you now, I love yous, all right? I don't need no textbook message to tell me whether or not I'm happy.
Looking at Niamh performing on Facebook doesn't always tally with the Niamh you might meet for a coffee or on the street, or that her family know. She's a whiz at performing, being a clown, doing stand-up, being the centre of attention. She knows how to put up a front. She's been doing it for a long time.
Where I grew up, the boys used to have great entertainment in chasing the girls around, and when they'd catch you, their idea of fun was to get a hand up your top or down your trousers. Or so I decided one day I wasn't going to put up with this anymore, and I shaved my hair. I had hair, long hair down my back, really, really long hair. And my mum used to comb it every night and it'd be all shiny and whatever. And I remember going into Jim's Barbers and saying, can I get a two blade and just leave a ponytail at the back? So shaved the hair, put on a pair of Doc Martens, pair of skin tight jeans, walked down to the roundabout and fought the boys that day, tooth and nail. They didn't get my trousers off that day and they never tried again. So it was just...
You're some bit skin and hair flying, are you?
Yeah, oh God, yeah, yeah. They'd drag you by the hair and try and pull you into the bushes and they'd be putting their hands everywhere. And I don't care what anybody says. That, to me, that's just as bad as being raped. Like, it's a gang of boys pulling at your clothes at your most... And, your most vulnerable age when you're only starting to get your breasts and you're totally self-conscious about your body, and all the girls went through it. Like, but I just decided that I wasn't going to go through it, that I was going to bite them and scratch them and kick them, that it would make that I wasn't worth their while. Just leave her alone. Jeez, it's not worth it for the feel of a diddy to get a boot in the face. So like the big Doc Martens, and I just, I didn't want it to be, I wasn't going to be a victim anymore.
Giving up shoplifting for Niamh also means giving up some excitement in life.
The biggest thing I ever took was a carpet.
Was a carpet?
The carpet was on display outside a shop.
I just threw it over the buggy and down the street. And like, it was crossways on the buggy. So the street people had to like get out of my way because I'm walking down the road with this fucking carpet on my buggy. And yet people are looking at you and they're in, you can see their brains working going, did she just rob a carpet? And I think I got like 150 quid for that. That was
how did you get it home? I mean, how far could you walk with a carpet on your buggy?
I got it on the dirt. I went on the dirt with it.
Niamh's been robbing since she was a child of about 7. And back then it was the primary school craze for scented notepaper.
And you could get strawberry shortcake ones and all them sorts of ones. But I didn't have the money for them. And some girls did. So we all went to Easton's one day and they were buying their fancy papers, and I picked up some fancy papers and I put them in my pocket and nobody seen me. I said, this is quite nice feeling. I got them fancy papers for free. So I went back the next day and I took some more fancy papers. And then I decided to myself, maybe not just fancy papers, maybe I can take anything I want from anywhere I want.
Niamh moved on to robbing clothes, and this led to her first arrest, which she tells me about as we're about to go into Penny's.
They were after having this massive big fire and they were having like a clear out sale the next day. People were queued up and around the corner. So we came down and we put leggings on us and put jumpers on us, put loads of clothes on us, and then literally filled the black bag and walked out the door. And your mum was like, hello, can you come with us? And the queue, my aunties were in the queue. One of our uncles was in the queue. The whole of the farm was in the queue where we came from, like, and seeing us getting merged into the thing. So before my ma even was contacted to come and collect me in the police station, she already knew your daughter was arrested in Lanerie.
What age were you?
13. Didn't put me off because the court sent me to this fantastic place. I didn't want to leave, like an assessment centre kind of place. And I was there for 3 weeks. So to me, I was like, don't care if I get caught again, because I hope they send me back to the same place.
Oh, so nice, but...
Because the people were so nice. I just felt really safe there. Really safe, and a lot of stuff had gone on at home at the time, and me mum was finished with me. She just couldn't deal with me anymore. It was too much of a handful, and I didn't really feel loved at home anymore. I read my file from there, and the most thing they said was that Niamh has got brains, to where she is highly intelligent, highly creative, but does not know what to do with it. Doesn't know how to turn our energy into positive things.
and very self-destructive.
Very self-sabotage.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that still?
Yeah, because I still do it. I still do it. And I can feel myself doing it, and I'm like, no, don't. You have an opportunity of a lifetime here. Like, take every opportunity that comes. Don't run away from it.
It's only when you're in the shops with Niamh that you realise how differently a shoplifter sees the world.
Just like this guy here in the aisle.
For example, one of those large stainless steel cages on wheels they use to stock shelves. That might be an inconvenience on the aisle for you and me. But for shoplifters, it's a camera-free zone, a place to hide while transferring your groceries from your trolley to your bag.
I'll get in behind him. Yeah.
Yeah.
In behind that thing. And camera down there can't see me. Camera behind me can't see me. Can I see my back? Perfect.
Even out on the street, Niamh can spot another shoplifter straight away.
See our man coming down the road now?
Yeah.
Look at him, see, look at him, look at his jacket.
Okay.
Can you see the jackets? Can you see the duvets?
No.
Look at the two duvets under his jacket. All right. Did you see them?
I thought there were two boxes of chocolates.
You see, you wouldn't be thinking,
no.
Is he after robbing something? Number one, he looked a bit dodgy anyway.
Well, he was very tall.
Very tall and a bit scrawny looking. But you kind of know there was drugs involved somewhere. You have to have a brass neck. Because if you didn't have a brass neck, you wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I know guys that rob banks that would be like, no, I wouldn't shoplift it in a million years. I'd be terrified. And these are guys that have robbed banks.
Even though Niamh has posted on Facebook that she's giving up shoplifting for Christmas, people are still getting in touch with her at what could be her busiest time of the year.
Niamh, are you going to be in Smith's and can you get in? Fake tan. Everyone's looking for a fake tan. And everyone's looking for MAC makeup. Slimming tablets. 120 quid these slimming tablets are. And people are going absolutely nuts for these Ultra Max slimming tablets. But they're like anything else. If you read the packet, it says on the packet, use as part of a calorie-controlled diet and regular exercise. Sure, if you're going to be taking a calorie-controlled diet and exercise, you don't need the bloody slimming tablets. But people want them and are willing to pay up to 50 quid for the large bottle of them. So the temptation is enormous for the cash. My mum is like the most honest person you could meet. If she found an envelope full of money, she would hand it back. I wouldn't. I used to kill her because she used to have to bring me to court and stuff, like when we were growing up. My mum is a fantastic singer. Oh my goodness, she used to sing us to sleep and she sings all the old Irish airs and she was reared in an orphanage. She's very well spoken and I think that's one thing that she's given to me is how to speak well. Because depending on the company I'm in, my voice will change. If I'm in town, I'm talking to the shoplifters in town, I'd be more kind, all right, what's the story? Yeah, what have you got? Like, no, I'm not giving you 10 off for that. What do you think I'm in Egypt? Where if I pick up, my friends now give me an off time, because if I pick up the phone, I'd be chatting away, normal voice, whatever, yeah. And then my ma will ring and they'll be like, hi, mom. And they're going, yeah, is that your phone voice? And shut up. That's the way I really talk.
Niamh is now in her 40s and grew up in Dalkey and later in Monkstown, County Dublin. Niamh was a handful for her mother and ended up being sent away to the nuns.
Do you remember the first thing you ever said to me?
No.
Do you ever come up for air?
Yeah, it's probably that.
Yeah.
One take on the family comes from her sister Dee's fiancé, Ian.
When Dee was sort of describing her family, it's like, well, my elder sister's a former heroin addict and a kleptomaniac. My mum's a bit crazy. My dad's, you know, at the pub most days and can't remember what day it is.
Yeah.
What about you? Well, My brother's an actuary and my mum and dad have retired.
So that's an old black and white picture of me when I was about 15.
Very pretty.
And I actually thought I was a lot prettier than I actually was. I was quite confident in myself back then.
Back then was 1986.
And I look at her now and I think, you're going to be pregnant in like 6 months. And you just don't know. Because I had a kid when I was young. I had a little girl when I was 16. I don't know, maybe I might even have, I think I might have been just seeing your man in this picture. But I hadn't got pregnant yet. But not long after this picture, I was pregnant. And my whole life changed from there. Completely
changed.
What age
were you lost your virginity?
14. Maybe 14. And nothing romantic about it, or it was just a lad in the field, and it was nothing special. It was just something that everybody else was doing. And then I had my first love. He was from Bray. I'd love to go back and talk to that girl and just tell her, you know, don't go to Bray, you know, don't meet that guy, don't get pregnant, don't lose your virginity, hold on to it for as long as you can. You know, and don't be fighting, and you know, life is not that bad. Don't be running away.
Yeah, I remember you running away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She ran away.
She did, yeah. When she was babysitting me and Aisling once.
This is Dee, or Deirdre, one of Niamh's two sisters.
She told me she was going in to speak to Rachel Andrews, took her bag, said, "You want to show Rachel Andrews these clothes?" She ran away. So my parents came back, they freaked out at me.
I mean, I didn't find out that Niamh was my half-sister in the best way, either. My teacher told me by mistake.
Is that how you found out?
Yeah, my teacher told me by mistake at a career guidance session. She was like, "Niamh was here, and she's got a different dad than you, hasn't she?" I was like, "No. No, she doesn't." Like, "Oh, right, oh, I'm sure she does." I'm like, you know, so... And in some ways, because we were going through such a hard time, it was easy to kind of... to not be emotional about that, because I thought, well, that's fine, because my relationship with Niamh wasn't really, really strong. So I was like, well, it doesn't mean anything. It just means that I'm genetically not as like Niamh as I am to Aisling, genetically.
All through her childhood, Niamh believed that her da was her father. She found out by accident that this wasn't the case.
A girl in our class had come in and was telling a story about how her dad wasn't her real dad. And I just happened to go home and say to me, "Ma, is Jack my real dad?" And she looked at me and went, "Who told you?" And I'm like,
"Nobody."
Girl in school said she had a different dad than her sisters. So I have as well. And she was like, "Yeah."
In 1987, Niamh had her first baby when she was 16. She had a little girl and she called her Saoirse, which means freedom. At such a tender age, Niamh didn't think she could manage to bring up the baby, and so Saoirse was put up for adoption.
The adoption agency kind of done a very cruel thing, didn't they? They sent her home to me for the night.
Yeah, that
and
was
then
bizarre.
Took her back.
I remember that quite vividly in my memory.
Yeah.
I have to say that night was quite bizarre.
Yeah.
What happened?
She just came home. You wouldn't let me hold her.
Yeah.
You, the Aisling holder, which was...
But I didn't even want to hold her.
But no, and it was just bizarre. It would never happen now. I mean,
what had happened was the foster family that took... You know the way they take them for 6 weeks to make sure, you know, change your mind and all this stuff. And they decided they were going on holidays. So the social worker was like, "Oh, well, you can take her for 2 nights. We had nowhere to put her. We had an outside toilet.
Well,
we'd no shower.
If it's a full adoption, it should be.
That should have never been allowed to happen, like.
It's not fair on the adoptive parents either.
It wasn't fair on me.
No, it's not fair on anyone.
Because it was like dangling her in front of me saying, you know, "Are you sure? You know," and it was awful.
And then I remember the car coming, and I remember waiting halfway down on the second floor and just seeing her go into the car, and it was just a really bizarre fit.
Yeah.
Just a bizarre thing.
Did you decide on adoption from the word go?
No, the whole way through it, I was hoping that her dad would show up and say,
this is not happening. I'm not going to let this happen. And he never did, so
yeah.
I went ahead with it. But it was the right decision in the end.
It was, yeah.
Because
was
she went to a fantastic family. I remember reading a book called Go Ask Alice.
Go Ask Alice was a book about drug taking, and it was popular in the 70s and 80s. The book was supposed to put people off the drug scene, showing as it did how awful the life of an addict was.
And instead of being horrified by the drug taking, I was fascinated. I was like, because she explained it about, like, when you take these certain tablets or when you take the heroin, everything goes away. Everything is better. No, of course, there was horrible bits of it as well, but I blanked them out of my head and just was like, oh, my God, I want to do that. I want to blank out life. I want to be able to do that. It sounds brilliant to be able to forget your situation, to be able to forget that you're in care for a while, to be able to forget that nobody wants you, and that feeling that nobody wants you, or nobody cares about you, or nobody cares if you're dead or alive, or, you know, and that was very attractive to me, that oblivion, to get yourself to a state of oblivion that you didn't know what was going on around you, so you couldn't worry about it if you couldn't think about it, and I chased that then.
At 19, in 1991, Niamh became pregnant again. It was a beautiful little boy, and she named him Davin. And this time, she was determined to keep him.
I was smoking grass and stuff when I was pregnant, but I never took heroin or methadone when I was pregnant. I didn't try no heroin until I was in maybe just 20, just after Davin was born. Thank God Davin wasn't born addicted or anything like that. When Davin was about 7 or maybe 10, 11 months old, I started using heroin. And
what prompted that? Why did you suddenly start?
I think it might have had something to do with... Well, it was definitely something to do with the guy I was seeing, because he was using it. And then the attraction of being able to take a drug that you didn't have to leave your house to take. Because your kind of life, your social life kind of comes to an end when you have a baby. So this was something I could do at home. But I didn't realise what I was getting into, and before I knew it, 15, 16 years, it just, Davin ended up in care. You know.
It's getting closer to Christmas. We're back in Dunleary, and Niamh is sticking to her pledge not to shoplift, but it's hard. We're in Meadows and Burn, and there are expensive decorations, candles and fancy food preparation gizmos beautifully laid out.
I know what this is. Mortar and pestle, am I right?
Do you use them?
I have done.
But not for food.
Not
Something
for
tells
food.
Me it's not Something for food.
Not for food.
I shouldn't be laughing.
For crushing rocks of crack.
Crushing rocks of crack cocaine.
What does it feel like when you have a crack?
I'm curious about Niamh's drug use.
Everything is like you smoke it, and then while you're letting the smoke out, that's when it hits you. And you start talking, and you know, you'll be throwing shapes, and you'll be thinking you're the best person in the whole world for about 3 minutes, if even that. And then it's gone. But you're really, really high. But the worst drug I ever took was when I was injecting cocaine. That nearly killed me. Nearly killed me. Because it's like, when you look back on it, the stupidity of it, like, it's trying to get as high as you possibly can without dying. That's the buzz you're chasing. And you must be close to death nearly every time you do it. And what happens is you take a wobbler when you take too much, which is literally you going into convulsions. And it would be a horrible way to die. Like, it would just be an awful thing because your whole body starts rocking and you can't stop it. And
is that scary?
Oh, I had an awful one. I went on a moving train, and the train, I was in the toilets on the train, and it was moving, and my friend went screaming because, like, she stayed with me for a couple of minutes and I'm trashing around the floor, and it went on for so long that she was like, no, and started screaming for help. nobody would come near us because it was in my arm and all and whatever. And he must have been saying off junkies or whatever, you know what I mean? And yeah, she ran to get help, and these young lads came down and actually were kicking me while I was taking the fit on the floor. Yeah. It's like another person done all them things.
Niamh was caught shoplifting one day when she was high. Feeling like spoiling herself, she filled the trolley with Häagen-Dazs ice cream. This was a theft that not only made the Evening Herald, but saw her ending up in Mountjoy Women's Prison for a short while.
Did you go visit her when she was there?
I did. I remember going once, yeah.
This is Aisling, Niamh's sister. At the time, like Niamh, her own life was chaotic. And also like Niamh, she could see the appeal of prison.
Looking back on it, I suppose there was a little part of me that wouldn't have minded being in there as well, to a certain extent of that institutionalised, your own cell and your own bed and your meals and your own routine. I did kind of want that at that time in my life, so I probably wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in prison, but at the same time,
It looked
kind of appealing, yeah, I have to say.
How long were you there?
The longest I was ever there was about 8 weeks.
That's not
that long. In prison terms, that's absolutely nothing. Like, there was an assault charge and something like 8 shoplifting charges, and they ran them all into one. So I got 18 months for that. And I didn't care. I had nothing to lose. So prison to me was just like a holiday home. I was like, yes, can I stay for longer? Because you got your hair done, your nails done. Everyone you knew was in there. And it was, like what Aisling was saying there, the routine of it was great, especially if you're in addiction, to get away from all that madness and just have your own little cell, and you're in your room at 7:30. You have your TV for your soaps and you have your own shower and bathroom. It's not like that now. There's 3 in a cell now. So that wasn't allowed when I was there. You had your own room with your own key. So I can understand why she would have thought, God, this looks all right. It looks all right in here, you know. But it was very hard having Davin brought up. That was like, I'm trying to explain to him, oh, that this is a hospital. And he's looking at you kind of going, but you're not sick. And trying to, because people constantly telling Davin, oh, your mum's not well. Your mummy's not well.
I suppose you weren't really.
No, I wasn't. But when you say that to a kid, they think you're sick. You should be throwing up. There should be blood. What kind of sick, you know? And it's very hard to try and explain to a child. He would have been 5 or 6. So that was a horrible heart. Like, I wanted him to come up and see me. But when he was gone, it was just, I never wanted him up there again, ever, because it was too hard to watch him leaving. It was just horrific. And then a social worker was bringing him up. When I talked to Davin about it, he just says that he tried never to think about it. When I asked him about, like, did you see my drug use, did you think about it? And he'd be like, no. When you left, I forgot about you because I couldn't deal with thinking about you. So whenever you'd leave, which was hard to hear, but that was his safety mechanism to keep himself from going mad, I suppose.
Davin, Niamh's son, is now 22. He spent part of his life in his early childhood in care. Some of his memories of life with Niamh are distressing.
Mickey was living in the house.
Particularly when he's talking about the men in her life.
Obviously he was beating up my ma, and I was only a kid, so I wasn't strong enough to fend for myself or fight off some of my man. I was only like 4 or 5 at the time, I'd say. I don't even know how I can remember it, like, but I just remember I remember being at the bottom of the stairs in it and like shouting at him. I can't remember what I shouted, but like, just know it was hard because I was small and I knew I couldn't do anything. Do you know what I mean? I think he even might just give me a little slap or push me out of the way, and I can't really remember what happened.
You were in my arms and you bounced my head off the window.
Yeah. But yeah.
And I had to put you down and you were trying to kick him and
yeah,
he was dragging me down the hall.
But anyway, yeah, that was the worst moment.
I don't think you remember that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was one of the worst moments. There's another ones where I found that needle from a fella you were going out with that day.
Yeah.
In the house. When I was playing my video game, I stuck down the bottom of the couch and found the heroin needle. And first, obviously, like, I was about 14 at the time, so I knew about drugs. So obviously I knew that my ma has taken drugs, and when I seen the needle first, I was thinking, is she back taking it? Is she taking it? She leaving the things here in stupid places, but yeah, As soon as I showed her, obviously she started punching the head off her fella at the time, innit?
It wasn't yours, it was his.
No, it was his, her boyfriend's at the time, innit?
Yeah, I have went out with some
just Graham.
Terrible, terrible guy.
So that was Graham.
Yeah. And he's dead now.
The only ever guy that you ever went out with that was any use was Paul.
Paul answered.
What happened to him?
Because he was the only guy that I liked. He was obviously he was a useless gobshite because he sat in front of the telly and watched the bookies all night. But he used to bring me to watch the football and like obviously I still speak to Paul. I talk to Paul on Facebook a lot now. You know what I mean? And still get on. He used to bring me to school sports days and that. He was always there. He would always come. He was good. Like, do you know what I mean? He tried his best. And even as a kid, I could see that. Do you know what I mean? It was the only thing that actually felt close to a father figure. I suppose he was the only one who ever got close enough that I let in as much. But then after, like, she fucked him out. I suppose that's another thing he did that pissed me off when I was younger, you know, as well. Because, like, I was like, ah, next man's coming in. Next man, that sounded real English.
And I was clean.
Like, the next guy comes along and then he's not going to be here for that long, is he? Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I was never too sure if I should get attached to anyone, yeah. That was it.
And I think that's kind of followed you around in your life. I had never had a social worker in my house. I'd never had a social worker's meeting. I went to them and asked them for help because I wanted to go for a detox. So I asked, could they take Davin for 3 weeks into voluntary foster care?
And this allowed Niamh to go into a clinic and come off heroin.
And I went to the social work place. I was like, okay, I want my child back. And they were like, oh, no, you can't have him back. We're taking you to court. And I was, you're taking me to court for what exactly? Neglect. What? What do you mean neglect? Are you kidding me? He's wearing Armani clothes. He's a chubby little thing, happy little. I couldn't understand where they were getting this word from.
She went to court and told the judge she was fit to take him back again. The judge disagreed.
When you're talking about your child being taken, you can't talk, you can't breathe. You're like, please don't take him. You can't get the words out of your mouth. You just, oh my God, it's like somebody just putting their hand into your chest and ripping your heart out. And you're trying to look at this judge and the tears are flowing and you're like, please don't take my child. Like,
what do you think is going on in their heads when they're looking at you doing being like that?
I don't know. I just thought they were the most heartless, nasty, evil people. And I think they thought, like, oh, maybe if we take her child, it will shock her into getting better. It had the opposite effect. I so couldn't deal with the fact that they'd taken him that I went worse into drugs because I had so much free time on my hands. I didn't have a child to look after. So I was like, I can't deal with this pain. I'm going to numb it.
Niamh is managing well, staying away from shoplifting, but it isn't easy. There are temptations everywhere. For example, one day we're in Dublin Airport duty-free.
I think I'll have to walk straight past the shops because if I see a handbag that costs £700, I'm going to take it. So I'm just not going into the shops.
Have you not lost that yet, no?
No, not because I think the cheek of them to charge £700 for a handbag.
Let's go get a coffee.
Yeah. Let's stay away from the designer labels. Step away from the labels.
Later over a cup of coffee, she remembers doing some damage last time she was here.
And a vanilla latte. The last time I was in this clothes shop and it's expensive designer wear, I ended up leaving with about 600 quid worth of handbags, makeup, jewellery, you name it.
Nobody caught you?
Nope. I actually went from the handbag shop to the makeup shop, put the makeup in the handbag that I just got from the guest shop.
And you just do it really casually,
yeah.
With a certain look on your face?
Yeah, is it like nonchalant, I don't care, why would you be looking at me, I'm just walking around the shop, that's my perfume. That's
you're
my handbag.
Lady.
Yeah. With a very expensive handbag.
Niamh has a wicked sense of humour and is a born show-off. She jokes easily about her past stealing escapades, and it was this talent to see the funny side, which led her to try stand-up comedy. Niamh now does stand up for charities that mean a lot to her, like the suicide prevention group Pieta House.
Men? A pause? Are you serious? The negative, what do they have? A midlife crisis.
The recovery train. I'm back on the recovery train. One way ticket, off again.
It's in her poetry that Niamh's more serious side comes out. Stronger.
Don't get off a trigger station. This stop will lead to devastation. Get rid of all your guilt and shame on the recovery train. We're all the same. So come on, people, all aboard. To miss this train you can't afford. Through all your trials and tribulations, on and off at different stations. Now your journey's at the end. Give your ticket to a friend.
Niamh first posted on Facebook that she was giving up shoplifting for Christmas 2 years ago. She succeeded that Christmas and last Christmas. And this year's looking pretty good too.
And guess what, Jakey? Nanny is going to be on the radio.
Yeah,
Nanny's going to be on the radio.
Niamh is still
show.
In touch with Jake, her grandson, the reason she decided to give up shoplifting in the first place. She sends him gifts, like a little soft toy that she knitted for him.
And I sent him over to Jake with a little story attached beside him, and it said, "Hi Jake, my name is Papa Cedro, and I come all the way from your nanny's house, where your nanny's house was filled with so much love for you, and she had nowhere to put it, so she put all of her nanny love inside me, and I'm stuffed with nanny love, so whenever you want some nanny love, you just cuddle me, and I'll give you some nanny love, and I'll be your friend forever and always."
Just because Niamh is no longer stealing doesn't mean life is straightforward. One of the legacies of her earlier drug use is that she's now on methadone long term.
19 years nearly.
And can you get off it?
It's very, very hard to come off methadone, because as soon as you get to a certain level, every emotion that you haven't dealt with from the day you started taking methadone, boom, and you've got to deal with them all at the same time. Everything starts coming back. Feelings start coming back. So the methadone is really still keeping you dumbed down. You're dumbed down to life. You're dumbed down to sex. You're dumbed down to feelings, emotions. You're tired all the time. And you kind of feel like your whole life revolves around going and drinking this feckin' green stuff every day. "Where has my life gone?" she wonders out loud. "How did I fall in with this drug-taking crowd? She's not by herself. She sure ain't alone. For this is the life of a methadone drone." Liquid handcuffs would be the general term that we call it. To go to a methadone clinic is like putting a band-aid on a 12-inch gash. It's not a fix. You get scared of who is the person that doesn't take drugs. Is she nice? Is she still the same person? Will I still be me? Will I lose a part of myself?
Niamh still keeps up her Facebook posts.
"I swear to you, that same bastard magpie is following me around. I'm telling you, it's a magpie conspiracy. I'm getting a pellet gun."
Trying to give her followers a laugh.
"So come on, what did you get dressed up for Halloween? Tell you know what I dressed up as for Halloween? A couch potato. Yeah, I sat on my couch and watched telly." I do suffer from depression, and it's hard because when people expect you to be funny all the time, like my friends will ring me up when they're feeling down for me to cheer them up, which is great. I can cheer them up. But I can't cheer myself up. Who do I ring to cheer me up, you know?
The answer to that comes from Facebook.
"And I'll tell you why I'm not making videos anymore. Because I don't feel funny anymore."
When Niamh goes quiet, her followers become concerned.
"I know there's not many people who want to look at this head."
And when she starts reposting, you can almost hear their sighs of relief.
"What have you... Ah, thanks, Billy. How are you, Jamie Boylan? Connor, no, I'm not. I wish I was going for the sandbone and scoop. Mind if you scoops. So, I'm going to tell you what happened to me the other day, right? So I was in Doggy, right? And you know the way, like, most people in Doggy..."
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.